am Linda van Tilburg for Bird News. It is estimated that more than a million South Africans live overseas, drawn by that trek spirit that many of us have inherited in pursuit of greener pastures. However, there are South Africans who eventually find their way back to the familiar embrace of home. South Africa boasts a standard of living that few countries can emulate, not to mention its breathtaking natural beauty and hours of daylight, a feature particularly enviable during the shorter days in places like the UK and Europe. But if you're planning to return from overseas to South Africa, what steps should you take? Well, we have Julian Atshade from Sable International in the business studio to provide valuable guidance on navigating this transition. Hi, Julian. Nice to see you again.
Hi, Linda. Yes, you too. I agree 100%. I mean, over the last 18 months, 2 years, we've seen a lot of people inquiring about returning to South Africa and looking at particularly, what are the tax implications around the move? And I think South Africans are, naturally inclined to want to return to home and where they call home. It's been a big shift in focus from expats that previously would have remained outside of South Africa and now are considering a return. It's definitely a hot topic at the moment.
So what should returners take into account? Can we start by tax implications?
Absolutely. Tax implications is probably the first question that anyone that looks to make a move back to South Africa comes to us in particular to ask. And I think what's important to understand is that a move between countries shifts tax residency. South Africa as a country has a very simple tax residency test. And there's effectively two. The first one being the ordinary resident test. And that would look at where do you call home? Where's your permanent home? And it would include factors such as where your family are, where your assets are located, and where you intend to reside over the long term. So for many, the ordinary resident test would be a simple one. If you're returning to South Africa for the long term with your family, that's the test that you would meet. And you would ultimately become tax resident in South Africa on the day that you return. The second test is the physical presence test. And that's effectively a days counting test. And there's a few criteria that one has to meet. So physically present in South Africa for 91 days or more in the current tax year, 91 days or more in each of the preceding five tax years, and then a cumulative total of 915 days over the five preceding tax years, effectively 2.5 years. And one has to meet all three tests to be non-resident in South Africa. So for South Africans that have been outside of South Africa for a long period of time, it's potentially a test that they could use if they retain property outside of South Africa or ties outside of South Africa. To give you an example, somebody that returns to or comes to South Africa from the UK, they retain a property in the UK and they rent that out and they earn rental income, but they're renting a property in South Africa. They are not 100% sure that this is where they'll be for the long term. One can apply the physical presence test to them, and the UK rental income from their property would not be taxable in South Africa because somebody that is non-resident under the physical presence test would not be taxed on foreign income, but only South African sourced income.
Okay, so it's all about whether you are now a resident in South Africa. So double taxation is a problem. I had a problem with that.
Yeah, so double taxation agreements are in place. There's, a watertight double taxation agreement between the UK and South Africa that deals with pretty much every form of income. And it ensures that you aren't taxed twice on the same income. So one has to then go and look at the double tax treaty specifically and how it applies to you and the income that you have. What I always recommend is that before you consider making this move, go and seek advice from a specialist tax consultant that can advise you on the implications both sides. And Sable International is very well placed to do that. So it's important to understand your tax obligations both in the UK and South Africa if we're looking at that. That's the primary market that is returning to South Africa at the moment. So seeking that advice is imperative.
Okay, so let's look at currency transfer. What should you make with, you know, if you want to bring money over, what should you take into consideration?
Yes. So when moving money between countries, it's obviously a consideration around what exchange rate that one is going to obtain when moving to. You don't want to lose money when you make the transfer. So obtaining the best rate is obviously key. So Sable International has a foreign exchange team that can help with currency transfers from outside South Africa to South Africa. There's a common misconception around moving money. And a lot of South Africans think that when they move money to South Africa, that they're going to have some tax that's levied on their capital that they transfer in. And the reality is that tax is applied to income, not to capital transfers. And it's just a misconception that South Africans continue to ask. They ask the question, what tax will I pay on my transfer to South Africa? It's not the case.
No, I'm sure the government's keen for you to bring money in.
Absolutely. As long as you're going to be resident in South Africa and pay tax, they would love your money to be in the country.
Well, what about pension schemes? You know, what should you transfer them?
Yeah, so if we look at the UK, implemented auto-enrollment. So that's effectively employer pension schemes became compulsory. So a lot of South Africans that moved over to the UK have built up UK pensions. And they can choose to leave their pension in the UK. If one considers the asset that they hold, it's a pound-based asset. So it is a natural hedge against an emerging market currency like the rand. There are options to transfer, but that comes with some potential tax penalties for transferring. And in most instances, it's not necessary because you hold an asset that is already offshore from a South African perspective. There are also certain pensions, such as employment-related pensions, that are exempt from tax in South Africa. So if we look at just that alone, the fact that a pension would be exempt from tax in South Africa if it is an employer-related pension, one can have a significant boost to their finances if you're retiring in South Africa. So there's definitely a key to retaining pensions offshore and not in cashing them. And then further, if we look at UK pensions and providers in the UK, South Africa was added to a high-risk third country list by HM Treasury in 2023. And since that happened, a lot of the providers in the UK have to perform enhanced due diligence on South African residents. So one has to also bear that in mind. It has become more challenging to manage pensions with UK providers when you are SA resident. So seeking advice in that regard is definitely on your to-do list. If we look at the UK state pension, it's also a great boost to your retirement income planning. One thing to bear in mind is that when you do receive your state pension, the state pension will not increase because you are now outside of the UK. It will not increase. Hopefully the rand will provide you with that inflationary increase with it weakening, but your actual UK state pension will not increase. Further, just with state pension, and I think it's important to mention, is that there are options to make voluntary contributions for state pension, and you can contact the Future Pension Centre in the UK or the International Pension Centre, depending on how long you've spent outside the UK, to help you with increasing your UK state pension. And that can be another boost to your retirement income planning. So if you look at employer pensions being exempt, you've got the state pension as well, you can have a pretty comfortable retirement in South Africa. And I think that's been a big draw for a lot of South Africans that are returning.
And what about the retirement system in South Africa?
Yeah, so the South African retirement industry has undergone an overhaul with the introduction of the two-pot system, which essentially places a portion of retirement funds into a retirement pot that's not accessible until after 55. So if you are returning to South Africa and you continue to work, then one has to understand how the South African retirement system would be of benefit to you for tax purposes. So you would probably want to continue to contribute to some form of retirement savings, and that may be an option. So it could well make sense if you are returning to South Africa and continuing to work.
So how would other UK investments that you hold be affected?
Yeah, so I think if we look at the tax treatment of UK investments as a South African resident, there's potential liabilities for capital gains tax on those investments, as well as dividend and interest income too. So the question that I get often is, you know, should I retain my UK investments, and specifically ISAs, which are individual savings accounts? If you're in the UK, you'll understand a lot about ISAs. And I think the unfortunate part is that in South Africa, they are not tax-free. And it's, again, a misconception that ISAs are tax-free in South Africa, and many that return to South Africa go on for years without reporting that income. You know, effectively, an ISA is seen as a normal investment account for South African tax purposes. So you'll actually end up paying tax on interest, dividends, and capital gains. So something to be aware of and to report going forward.
Well, and a big one is health insurance. You know, some people might just be on the NHS in a place like the UK. In South Africa, you know, medical insurance is quite expensive. So how should you manage that?
Yeah, navigating healthcare is probably a primary concern for most that are returning, particularly as you get older. In South Africa, private healthcare is, you know, some of the best in the world. I think if you're looking to return, you should start that planning at least 6 months before the time and start looking at medical aid options in South Africa. There are plenty of different providers, different plans. You know, you can go for something basic such as a hospital plan where you would be covered if you were admitted to hospital, and somewhere that have savings elements and other benefits. In saying that, the cost must be considered, because if you are over the age of 35 and you have not belonged to a South African medical scheme, you are potentially liable for a late joiner penalty, and that penalty can be between 5% and 75%, depending on the number of years you have not been a member of a South African medical scheme. So it can become quite expensive. So research has to be done upfront on understanding that. You don't want to land in South Africa and not have a plan in place and rely on the state. I mean, just referring to state, national health insurance is something that's definitely on the cards. It's been signed into law. And it's only a matter of time before that comes into practice. How the medical aid industry deals with it is, you know, yet to be seen. But there's a lot of talk around that. So planning in advance with healthcare is absolutely imperative.
The other one that I've been thinking of is inheritance tax. So does it differ in South Africa to places like the UK?
Yes. So, you know, currently the UK is also undergoing some changes around inheritance tax. But if we look at it, you know, they're shifting from a domiciled system to a residence-based system, which would be very much like South Africa. If we look at South Africa, South Africa levies estate duty at 20 or 25%, depending on your estate value. And I think there's a big opportunity here, particularly for those that have significant assets. I mean, just to give you some context, in South Africa, there is an abatement of 3.5 million rand per individual. If you're married, you and your spouse 7 million rand of assets that you can hold before estate duty would become liable. If you are, you know, bona fide non-resident, you have the opportunity to restructure your estate prior to re-entry into South Africa. Because once you enter South Africa, you are then liable to tax on your worldwide estate. So if you're ordinary resident, you're liable to estate duty on worldwide assets. So that would include items such as unit trusts, global share portfolios, and the like. So you have to be mindful of the opportunity that presents itself. And depending on which country you come from, there are considerations that you need to make as to how you move assets into potentially an offshore trust or offshore structure. But some research and some, you know, thought process around that restructuring must be done well in advance before moving. Once you're in South Africa and your estate is subject to estate duty on worldwide assets, the opportunity to move assets out of your estate is actually quite limited or costly. Quite simply, South Africa levies donations tax, moving assets out of your name, or you would have to fund it via a loan account. And that comes with an additional cost. So there's some key advantages. So again, you know, similar to the tax position around income tax and residency with inheritance tax, speak to a specialist that deals with and understands both the UK side, if you're coming from the UK, and the South African side. To make the right decision before you enter South Africa, because your opportunity falls away when you land.
This looks quite complicated, so it seems you need a bit of help here.
Absolutely. As I've said several times during this session, seek expert advice on these areas. If it's not something that you are comfortable with, go and seek advice that is particular to your own personal circumstances, because everyone is different and the opportunity may or may not exist to restructure your affairs. It all depends on what assets you hold, values, and whether it makes sense. So seek advice. That's the key message that I would give to anybody listening today.
Yeah, I have to say it's far more complicated than I thought it was. And I didn't realize that there are certain things you can do that's actually to your advantage, coming back to South Africa with things like inheritance tax.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Linda.
Thanks, Julian. Julian Edshade from Sable International. Thank you so much for speaking to us.